good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tune me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Those of you just listening by way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse, and you just take your mouse and put it on the top of Messages from the Lighthouse, and it'll light up, and you go to Current Messages, and then there's some that's past messages. But to listen to today's message, you go to Current Messages, and then you just click on it, and you can listen, or you can download whichever you desire to do. The other one that's past messages, that's got quite a lot of messages there just waiting to be listened to, if you would have time to do so, or download them and take them with you somewhere as you're traveling or whatever you desire to do. Whatever way you've tuned me in, I'm just so glad that you've tuned me into the broadcast today. This morning, the message is going to be the danger of no shepherd. We just concluded the study of Psalm number 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and he is a good shepherd, and he gives his life for his sheep. He knows his sheep, they follow him, and that's a good lot of message that we just shared last week. So this week I'm following up with, what if there is no shepherd? The danger there is when there is no shepherd, and we'll address that in just a few moments. But first of all, I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial cost of my broadcast. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans, Michigan. Gayne London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. And she's from Greenville, Michigan. Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. And she's from Dayton, Tennessee. And then Doug and Lorraine Lane family from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy Hammond family from the Belden area. I say thank you to each one of you for the financial support that keeps this broadcast on the air. We've been doing it in the Greenville station. This soon will be 42 years, so we've been really blessed to be able to do that, and I appreciate that so much. I need to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out the music for this morning, and she's working on the music for the next 6 months or so. 4 months, and I always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church. I've missed not being there. We've down here in Destin, Florida, and we've been here since the 1st of February. We leave for home on Friday morning, and so we'll be working our way back to the cold weather of Michigan, and it's been really a nasty month for you folks there in Michigan, and I'm sure feel sorry about that. But I want to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, where I'm sure you'll receive a warm welcome. Our Saturday night service at Shiloh begins at 6:30. Sunday morning, we do a service at 9, and then we do a contemporary service at 10:45. And if you're in the Greenville area, Greenville campus is at the old Lutheran Church located on North M91 up there by the new McDonald's. And that time of that service is 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of all the things that I need to take care of. I got to tell you, though, I'm going to miss being here in Destin, Florida. Our condo has a big old picture window facing the Gulf of Mexico. So the day is kind of a cloudy day, and there's a lot of waves coming in, and so I'm just sitting here in front of this bigger body of water than Long Lake by a long many, many times over, and just watching these waves as I deliver the message to you this morning. Well, let's get started with a song as we enter into our message for this week. And the song that I got that I'd like to have us listen to is saying, "Search me, O God. Look over my heart and look over my life. Look over what's been going on in my life and show me my need of a shepherd," is what I'm thinking of this morning. So we'll listen to the song. I'll be right back in a few moments and share the message with you. So good to be with you. God bless you.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever. Change my heart, oh. change my heart, oh
dear people, that's what God really wants to do for each one of us. As we studied last week about the shepherd, he really wants each one of us to become like the shepherd. And that's what I want to talk about. We're going to talk about this morning, the danger when there's no shepherd in our life and the consequences that follow. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I want to remember the listening audience this morning in our time of prayer together. Another week has went by, and some of you have gone through some pretty heavy things, and I'm sure there's been some good blessings in your life as well. But we realize that, hey, we need something from God. We need something from encouragement from him. So I want to remember you in prayer. Let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, as we've been listening to that song, you are the potter, we are the clay. Last week we studied about the fact that you are the shepherd, and we are the sheep. Thank you so much, Father, that you are the creator, and we are the creation. You are the redeemer that paid the price of taking away our sin, and we are the ones that needed somebody to pay that price because we couldn't pay it for ourselves. And I appreciate that so much, Father, this morning as we look into your word. I pray that you would lead us and direct us according to your will. I pray you'd use this broadcast to be an encouragement for someone. So today, I want to pray for the listening audience that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Everybody that's got their radio tuned to us or their device, I just ask, oh, Father, your special blessing upon them. Whatever they've gone through this week, I pray that you give them the strength that they need. Some, Father, just found out this week probably they have cancer. Maybe others have attended a funeral of a dear loved one or a friend. Others may be gone through a surgery this week. Some of them are in a nursing home and need some special care or a foster home. Father, whatever the listening audience is going through this morning, those that's even driving on their way to church this morning, and they tuned me in on their way to church, how nice is that? Pray that you bless them today and give them a good day at their church where they attend and make it a blessing to them and them a blessing to the church. Guide us and direct us and use us for your name, I pray, and you get all the glory in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What a privilege it is, you know, to be able to share my voice with you this morning. Each time that we've been down here this year, I tuned in the radio station just to see that the radio broadcast. I listened to my own self speak. I just think, you know, I turned 84 while I was here in Destin, Florida. So I said that my grandkids were here. We spent some time with our grandkids and our children. And I said to them, I want to listen. They was here on a Sunday. I said, I want to show you what your grandpa has the privilege of doing. So I tuned in to the station in Ionia, and well, because we was up at that time having some breakfast, and I tuned in to the station and said, here Grandpa is all the way down here in Florida, and he's talking back in Ionia. How special is that? What a modern day we live in. I never would have dreamed that would ever happen. But let's get on with the message. You didn't want to hear me just rattle on about all of that, but that's so special when I think of it, and I'm just excited to be a part of that. My message this morning, the danger of no shepherds. You know, I want us to realize there's danger that comes because the shepherd is one that keeps the sheep from the danger. This is what Jesus said when he saw a crowd of people in the book of Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw that huge crowd, he had compassion upon them because they were harassed and they were helpless. Jesus said, that crowd of people is like sheep without a shepherd. The compassion of that good shepherd Jesus as he seen the crowd of people. Another place in Matthew 26, when he went ashore, he just got off from the boat, there was a great crowd of people waiting there. And it says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things that they needed to know. Remember when we was talking about the Lord Jesus as a good shepherd? He says sometimes people hire a hired hand to be a shepherd, and they called him a harlot. And they would hire him. He's really not a shepherd. He's just doing a job. He does not know the sheep. He does not own the sheep. But you know, when he sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand. And he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, he said, the hired hand wouldn't do that. That's a danger of not having a shepherd, just having a hired hand that's just going to take care of the sheep, but he's not really taking care of them because he sees the wolf coming, he takes off and lets them shift for themselves. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, then Jesus said to them, you all far away today because of me, to the disciples he was talking. For it's written in the Old Testament, now listen to this, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. That's the danger there is when there is no shepherd. Jesus knows that to be true, and Jesus is trying to teach us that that's really true. We need a shepherd for our life. We need somebody that we can follow. We need somebody to lead the way for us as we go through this thing called life. I think it's so important to realize that's just some of the reasons of why we need this shepherd. The information we can get together out of this is that sheep, like you and I as human beings, we need somebody to lead us, just as Jesus is willing to do, as he wants to be our good shepherd. And you know what we find today? You and I are like the people was in Jesus' day. We're harassed and we're helpless. We're going through life sometimes without a shepherd. And that's dangerous, but Jesus will have compassion on you and me. He's already showed that because he had compassion on the other people that were without a shepherd. Because of that compassion, Jesus will desire to teach us many things. That's what he did to those people, to show some different things that he can teach them to help them in their journey of life. And at the same time, to help them to overcome the danger that there is, realizing that this one Jesus has promised, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you, so you can have some confidence and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. God's going to take care of us is what he's promised. The hired hand just goes running off, and that's the way it is. There's another side of that that reveals in the nature of the sheep as well as the nature of you and I as a human being. And that's given to us in a verse that's way back in the Old Testament. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to our own way. And God the Father has laid upon his Son, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He paid that price we couldn't pay. The Good Shepherd is seeking for you today. The Good Shepherd is seeking for me today because he knows if you try to face life without a shepherd, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. Let's continue on with this thought for just a few moments. The danger of the shepherd is revealed to us in the idea that there was many religious people when Jesus was here. There was what was called the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. There was many religious people in the presence of Jesus the Son when he was on planet Earth. At one time it tells us in the scripture that Jesus was out in the wilderness. He was being tempted by Satan to turn bread into stones into bread and to all those kinds of things. And Jesus just said, it's written, man shall not live by bare bread alone. And he defeated Satan in that wilderness that he was a part of for 40 days and 40 nights. After he came from that wilderness, it tells us in the book of Luke chapter 4, Jesus returned by the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news about him went all abroad, everywhere. Everybody's talking about this one Jesus. He's doing miracles. The blind are being able to see. The deaf are being made able to hear. The lame are able to walk. And he taught in many of their synagogues, being glorified by all. They all were pleased with his message. They all were, as we talked about before, he was able to capture their attention. He was able to show that he was ready and willing to reach out to anyone and everyone. His little hometown of Nazareth, he hadn't been there yet. That's where he grew up as a little boy. He's helping his dad in the carpenter shop. And he's coming back to his hometown as recorded for us in the book of Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. And this is what it says. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, because that's what he had done in days gone by. And he was handed the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written about him. And this is what he read to them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Jesus closed the book and he sat down. You know, it was a little different in their day. They stood up to read. They sat down to talk. Like I'm sitting with you today. He closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down. And then all the eyes in that whole entire synagogue, religious people and all, were fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this is being fulfilled. This is what God said I was to do, and I'm here to do it. So all who bear witness and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of Jesus' mouth, the people not only received Jesus, but they received what he came to do. They said, yes, we need this. Their minds and hearts were open to receive the message of the Lord Jesus and the person of the Lord Jesus. But in that synagogue, there was a lot of religious people. And they not only rejected Jesus, but they also rejected what he said he was going to do. Just think with me for a few moments, folks. In Jesus' day, he's ministering in his hometown where he grew up. He's in the synagogue. He had been there many times. And those religious people wanted to kill him. It's recorded for us in the continuing in the book of Luke. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city. They led him to the edge of the brow of a big hill on their way to the city wall, city where the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. They wanted to kill him. And the only miracle that Jesus ever did in his own defense, he disappeared out of their presence. He was gone. They couldn't find him. I want you to know, they rejected Jesus, those religious leaders, and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. I love what God shares with us, how we can come to the understanding as the rest of the crowd, I trust, did that day. They can come to the understanding of believing, because it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For any person who wants to come to God must do two things. He must first of all believe that God exists. And secondly, he must believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And the people were seeking him, but not the religious people. They were satisfied with their religion. They were satisfied with what they had. And this one, Jesus is going to end up causing them difficulty to try to explain some of the rules and regulations that they had. And so they tried to kill him. I find that hard to get a hold of. But I wonder today, the attitude there is today about things of righteousness, about this one Jesus that wants to be the shepherd of your life and that wants to be the shepherd of my life. There's some today that I'm sure would thrust him out of their life. They would like to thrust him out of their city. And you and I need to know that God's going to remind us now in his word of a time in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Ezekiel. I doubt there's very many people to get up in the morning and read Ezekiel. But it's in the 34th chapter. It's talking about the nation of Israel. And you know, it's talking about the shepherds that were in charge of the nation of Israel. And many times that was that way too. It was the religious people that were in charge. And you know, Jesus is wanting to remind them, or God's wanting to remind them, of something that was pretty serious. You know, I like to think that Jesus is my shepherd. And I like to think that he's my good shepherd. But I also believe, because Jesus is my shepherd, there's some other people that I'm leading in life and that you're leading in life. I think, you know, for every single one of us, we have people that are following us. Think with me for just a few moments. If you've got a family, do you realize if you're a mom or a dad, there's children, you got children. There's children that's looking to you for leadership in your family. You have people that are leadership. You've got brothers and sisters. There's people that are looking to you as leadership. I call it shepherd leaders. You got people who are following you, people who are watching you, not to find fault, but to receive some strength and help. I think in the workplace, do you realize in the workplace where you've got very many people, unless you work by yourself, there's people in the workplace that are looking towards you for leadership. You are leading them by the way you work and by the way you conduct yourself in the workplace. I believe in every community, there's people that are looking at you and following you. You have people who lead you, who you lead in the community, and you may not even know as many as it is. I think we're all a shepherd in one way or another. And today's story, I will teach you some of the things about leadership that I learned from this portion of Scripture. And it's leadership when shepherds don't do what they should do. When shepherds don't lead as they should lead. I want to point out some of those things to you before I read the story. The shepherds were taking care of only themselves and not the sheep. That's not a good shepherd. Only taking care of themselves and not the sheep. They were using the sheep to satisfy their own desires. They were using them for meat and for wool, for clothing. They weren't letting the sheep use them as one to follow. They were using the sheep to satisfy their own needs and not meeting the needs of the sheep. They were strengthening themselves by the food they ate and so on, but they didn't care about the weak sheep that were hurting. They didn't care that they were hurting. Those are not good shepherds. As a result, God tells us in his word in Ezekiel, as a result of that, they were scattered everywhere because they had no shepherd. Oh, they had a shepherd in name, but there was no shepherd. The shepherd didn't care about the sheep. And God's going to hold those shepherds accountable for their sense of leadership that they didn't give to the sheep. And you know what he's going to do in the bottom line? He's going to remove them from ever being a shepherd to the nation of Israel. The story goes like this. This is what the Almighty God says. How horrible it will be for the shepherds of Israel who have been taking care of themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds have been taking care of the sheep? You eat the best part of the sheep. You dress in wool and butcher the finest sheep. Yet you don't care of the sheep. You don't take care of them. You have not strengthened those that are weak and healed those who are sick or bandaged up those that are injured. You have not brought back those that have wandered astray or looked for those that got lost. You have ruled them. When they were scattered, they became food for every wild animal. My sheep wander, God says, all over the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered throughout the whole earth. No one searched or looked for them. So you shepherds, listen. The word of the Lord, as I live, declares the Almighty Lord. Because there is no shepherd, my sheep have become prey. My sheep have become food for the wild animals. My shepherds haven't searched for my sheep. And they haven't taken care of only themselves, not my sheep. So shepherds, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Almighty Lord says. I'm against you, shepherds. I'll demand that you hand over my sheep. I won't let you care for my sheep anymore. And God rescued the nation of Israel from the hands of the shepherds. Imagine that. Imagine that. You know, there's a beautiful verse in all my studies of the Bible. I never knew this verse was in there. You know what God said in the last line of that portion of Scripture? Then I'll give them to one shepherd, my servant David. And he will feed them, and he will watch over them, and he will be their shepherd. And Jesus was a shepherd boy, but he became the King of Israel. What a blessed story, folks. But how sad that people will take advantage of other people. We need to hesitate and let that sink in for a few moments. They were shepherds, but they weren't. Go and listen to a song, and this song says, this good shepherd, he reached down for you, and he reached down for me. He was one that was seeking for you, and he was seeking for me, and he wants us to know that he is the good shepherd that's going to watch over us, and he's going to meet our needs. And he met that need when he was willing to become a human like you and I. Let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments.
Once my soul was astray from the heavens.
I was wretched and as vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. How my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In the tempest, to Him I then flee. There to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm, since He reached down His hand for me.
When the Savior reached down for me,
He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son.
I was 18 years old when I knew that God was reaching down His hand for me. Now I told you that I'm 84, and I can tell you that that same Jesus is reaching down to you today and say unto you, as He said to me, I want to be the shepherd of your life. I want to lead you through this thing called life. I want to give you directions so you can accomplish the most with this life that you'd ever be able to do. And that same message comes to you. And that same message comes to me. You know, we look at the shepherds. Just a few moments ago, we got through doing that. And that they didn't take care of the sheep. But you know, I also know there's another side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is we need to take a look before we leave this subject about us as sheep. We can talk about the shepherds, but what kind of a sheep are we? Are we one that's in love with the shepherd? Are we one that the shepherd has to keep bringing back to the fold? So that's what I want us to think about for just a few moments. I want us to think of us as Christians, as God's sheep, and what is possible to happen in our attitude towards this good shepherd Jesus. It is a word we do not hear much about today, but it is very much alive today. It is spoken about a church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. To the message of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the witness who is faithful and the true source of God's creation says, I know that you have done, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. But since you are lukewarm and not hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich and I'm wealthy and I don't need anything. Yet you do not realize that you are miserable, painful, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. God's talking to a church. God's talking to Christians within that church. My goodness, what kind of a sheep are we? We all, without a doubt, have something that we do not like when it is just lukewarm. My thing is soup. If I'm going to have a bowl of soup, and can I tell you, I don't really want a cup of soup. I want a bowl of soup. I love soup. If it's not hot, I want my soup hot. I know what Jesus meant when he said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Because I've experienced that before, haven't you? When you want to take a taste of some soup, and it's just lukewarm. I love the way that Jesus said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. He cannot stand lukewarmness. When we are in our walk with our good shepherd, each day of our life, are we just lukewarm? Lukewarm like that soup that I don't like? Lukewarm like Jesus doesn't like? He'd say, I could handle it if it was hot. I could even handle it if it was cold. But lukewarm, that's very discouraging. I believe that causes us to, I believe there's some things that cause us to be lukewarm. When we fail to remind ourselves that Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Sometimes we sheep think we have the right to tell the shepherd what to do. He's the shepherd. He's not following us. We're following him. I love the way the shepherd is described to those people, those Christians there in the church at Laodicea. He says, I'm the amen. Let it be. Amen's got the end. Amen. We pray, amen. I'm the witness. I'm the one who is faithful. I'm the one who is true. I'm even the source of God's creation. That's a powerful description of the Lord Jesus. Now put alongside of that what was said about the Christians in this church in Laodicea. When we are lukewarm, I first believed they did not see Jesus in their hearts and minds as high and lifted up as he was. Listen carefully to this next thought, folks, because it's so true. If you lift yourself up at the price of bringing God down to your plateau, I believe this one God, eternal, almighty. I love that word in Ezekiel. Almighty. We don't hear that word too much. Almighty God has said. I got to tell you, we need to keep God where God is. He's high and he's lifted up. His things filled the temple. And in the Old Testament time, it says the angels were flying with their wings and saying, holy, holy, holy. God is high. And he's lifted up. I want to keep him there. And I think you should keep him there. I believe that you're lukewarm when you see yourselves, but you don't really see who you are. That's lukewarmness. You know what they were saying? They said, I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I don't need nothing. They didn't realize what Jesus was saying he was seeing. The Almighty One. He was saying, you're miserable, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. That produces lukewarmness when you don't really see yourself who you are. When you're thinking I'm more high of yourself than you ought, and God says speaks against that. when you think that you're just a little closer to God maybe than anybody else. You know, when you think you and God are almost on the same plateau, that's a dangerous place to find yourself before this Almighty God. You know what I think that church needed? You know what I need to stay where I'm supposed to stay in my relationship to this Good Shepherd? I think the answer for us all is given to us in the book of James. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Another place in James, he says, draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. You'll take a little baby step, God will take a giant step. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's reminding us. He's letting us know that this one that is so high and lifted up, he's so powerful. I love the way Barry Graham used to say that God's so big that the universe cannot contain him. And yet God's so small that he comes to live in my heart and your heart. That's the way it's supposed to become. I love the words of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's so beautiful, folks. That's the relationship that allows it to be what a sheep should be towards the shepherd. But if you're trying to lead the shepherd and you're just a sheep, you're in trouble. You're in deep, deep trouble. You need to learn something from the rest of the time that I'm going to spend with you for these next two thoughts. Lukewarmness is a part of our life because we are wavering. You know what I mean by wavering? In our relationship with God, one moment we love God and are on fire for him, and next moment, it's like Peter almost denying him. My favorite story in the Bible in the Old Testament is recorded in 1 Kings 18. A time when the nation of Israel had to make a decision. There was a god at that period of time, small G-O-D, called Baal. And people were worshiping an idol. And it came to a point of where Elijah the prophet is going to lead them to a decision. If God's God, worship him. If Baal's God, worship him, is what he's going to say. So Elijah came near to the people, and this is what he said. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? I love the King James says, how long will you be halt? You're standing in what I would call the parked position, or you're standing in the paused position. One moment you think Baal's God. Next moment you think the Lord, he's God, the Almighty One. How long are you going to do that, he asked in verse 31. And the people didn't answer him a word. Then Elijah said, we're going to have a little test today. We're going to build this huge altar. Elijah was thinking at that time that he was the only man of God there was. He didn't realize that God had a whole lot more, but Elijah had been going through a very difficult time and people picking on him and all the rest of the things because of his relationship with God. He said, we'll build this big altar. There was many prophets of Baal. 450 prophets were gathered around on that mountainside. And they built this great big altar. They put the animal on it. And then they said, now cry out to your God and ask him to send down fire to start to burn up the sacrifice. And they prayed all day long. Nothing happened. Elijah even picked on him a little bit. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Wake him up. Nothing happened. And later Elijah said, okay, now it's God's turn. He said, throw some water on that altar. They put water everywhere, all over that altar, all over around the ground. And he prayed to God. And fire comes streaming down from God and lit that sacrifice and licked up all of that water around that altar. And then the people got on their knees and they cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, I got to tell you, and be honest and upfront, They made a decision that day, but they needed to make a decision every day, and they didn't do that. Do you realize that's how we become lukewarm? When we think we can make one decision that's going to last us, we have to continually make those decisions to follow his sheep. You see, the shepherd led the sheep every day. And when the shepherd led the sheep, they followed him every day. You and I need to know, following this good shepherd Jesus is a day-by-day thing. Sometimes it's hour by hour. Dear God, people, I've went through those times, and many of you have too, when it's following moment by moment. That's all we can make, is just that moment by moment time. We need to know that. That's understanding give us in our spirit to help us not to be lukewarm. But I also love sometime later Jesus addressed this same problem when he said in the book of Matthew, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two gods. There's only one God. The rest of it is G-O-D, small letters. There's only one Lord God. No one can serve two masters. Have you found that out yet? For either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Then he says this, you cannot serve God and money at the same time. Can't be done. Shouldn't be done. In the book of James that I was speaking about just a few moments ago, talked about the same kind of thing. It says a time of indecision. You got this indecision in your life about God. You got this doubt, you're double-minded. Even when you pray, he says, if you pray, if any of you lack wisdom, this is what he said, ask the Lord, and he'll give you this wisdom generously. And you know what? He'll not only give it to you generously, but he'll give it to you without any reproach. He won't call you dummy. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. The one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Do you realize that wave that I'm looking out my window right now on the beautiful Gulf of Mexico? Right now they're about 4 feet high. Those waves can't do nothing by themselves. They're driven, he says, by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Are you like the wave? One minute you love Jesus. Next minute, who is Jesus? One minute you're glad he's your shepherd. And the next minute you're wandering away from the shepherd. God wants us to do something better than that. To overcome being lukewarm, we must decide every day. And you know what I like to think of as decide every day? I'm going to do as best I can to what Jesus said one day to a man who came to him and said, Jesus, Master, Teacher, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment in the entire Bible. Jesus said, the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You make God number one. You make the shepherd of your life number one, is what he's saying. That's the first and great commandment. And the second commandment is like that. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what God's reminding us. Got one more quick thought to share with you. I know this is a lot to digest, but I wanted to show you a lot of different ways the danger there is of being without a shepherd. In that same book of Revelation, when God was talking about the church there, it's Jesus really speaking. He said, I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. I just want to spend just a few moments in saying I believe lukewarmness comes in your life and comes in my life when we become stagnant. when we become sluggish, when we become motionless, when we have very little activity, when laziness comes and takes over. Someone has said the person can distinguish between being tired and being lazy. If he can distinguish that, he'll go far. Laziness is going to cause us problems. We sometimes become apathetic. I could care less. It don't matter to me. That attitude will bring us into a sense of the idea that it don't really matter. So my last thought I want to share with you is this. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branch. And every branch in me is going to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit. God wants us to be fruitful for him. Matter of fact, he says the branches that don't bear fruit, they're clipped off and they're thrown in the fire and got rid of. And some of the branches that do bear fruit, he says, they even go so far to prune them a little bit and make them so they'll bear more fruit. That's what God is looking for. I love the way it's given us in that portion of Scripture. He is fruit, more fruit, and then the much fruit. Now listen to a song. Please forgive me, Lord. Forgive me of my lukewarmness. Forgive me when I've turned away from the shepherd. Trust you enjoy this song. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.
My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you till my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how it pled for my forgiveness while he was dying on the tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Forgive me.